Crystal, when are you going to wean that child?
Wean six.
Oh, by the time he'll go off to college, we'll have a done.
I've got a little nephew in Atlanta, Wiggs' child. He married this woman, and she'd never had any children. Now, her husband died, and she'd always wanted a child, so they had this little boy, Will Bustle. Well, Bustle was her maiden name, and I just called him the cutest thing you ever saw, and just as small. And let me see how old he is.
We'll see if I can make us up some sandwiches.
He's over two, and he's still nursing. And so Wig is kind of ashamed of it, you know. He ain't been about to ask him, is Will Bustle still nursing? He says, yeah, but I believe when he goes to college, I believe Beth is going to definitely wean him when he goes to college.
doesn't bother me. He'll nurse till he was four.
But he would only nurse in the morning. He wouldn't nurse all day long. Some of the children I know,
well,
they
this
come
little
up
child,
to mother, they nurse
my grandchild
little
nurse, she was, I believe she was nearly about two. But you know what? I consider that all the family. Juanita, why don't you tell Carol she ought to wean that child? I said, you know, that's kind of in the category and none of my business. I said, now, I weaned my children when I wanted to. But nobody could have told me that I had to wean them at a certain time. I weaned them because I wanted to. And so I don't tell Carol. Carol's finished college. She's got a degree in psychology, and let her wean the child when she gets ready. I don't care when she weans it. It doesn't bother me and wake me up during the night.
Yes. I'm ready to wean him every night, really.
Well, I tell
when
you what.
He wakes me up.
Let me tell you about this child, though. Now, here's this little smart 6-year-old. Now, seven, but this summer she's nearly seven. And my grandson, Zach Jr.'s child, he didn't nurse that long because he was on the bottle. They lived out in the country, so the bottle got lost, presumably, and they couldn't find it, and everybody, the cook, the maid, the nurse, and little Zach, they all looked for the bottle and couldn't find it, so he just gave up. I mean, his bottle was gone. He accepted that. So they got him off the bottle, but he was a pacifier sucker. So I was out there one day and stopped by there. Marguerite, I've forgotten, I had two or three women with me, and we stopped by, I just wanted to see the baby. So he was sitting in my lap with a little t-shirt on, and he had a pacifier in his mouth. He got still and he got sleeping. He was sitting there. So I don't like, I mean, a great big boy like that with a pacifier, so I just reached over, took the pacifier and put it over here on the little coffee table. Was talking and listening to them, you know, and I looked around and he was going to town on the pacifier. Where in the world did he get that pacifier? So he didn't say a word when I took it out of his mouth. I took that one out and I laid it over there. We went on talking, and after a while, he had another one. And I looked on the table and there was the other two. He had them in his shirt. He had his spare with him. Everybody would take his pacifiers away from him, so he took his spares along with it. And I just thought that was the funniest thing. But anyway, I had bought him a pacifier that fits the shape of the mouth, and I mean, it's supposed to be just like the mother's nipple or something. But I never had carried it to him when he was little. I thought that was the cutest little pacifier. So this summer, now remember, my grandson's 14 years old. This summer, it was in the chest of drawers up there where Carol was staying, and he found that little Melanie found that pacifier. Well, I didn't know the problem that Carol had with her. So she put it in her mouth and she was just walking all over that pacifier. And I thought she was just playing because she plays all these fantasy games. So we were going out to lunch down at the cafe and she was sitting in the back seat and just going to town on that pacifier. And when we got there, Carol said, Melanie, you'll have to take that pacifier out of your mouth. Very seldom does Carol ever say no. Very seldom. I mean, Melanie has got her just like this. But she said, you'll have to take that pacifier out of your mouth before we go in the cafe, the restaurant. And Melanie just looked off, you know. She just didn't answer. and started getting out of the thing, the car. And Carol says, Melanie, I meant what I said. Occasionally she does crack down on me. I'm not walking in there with a girl your age with a pacifier in your mouth. Take it out of your mouth. She still just looked way off. So I saw that Carol was not going. She says, well, I don't know anything to do, Grandma, but to take Melanie back home, because I'm not walking in there with her with that pacifier in her mouth. So I just, see, my way with children is so different from Carol's. I just reached over and took it out of her mouth. I said, well, it happens to be my pacifier, so I'm going to, I just took it out of her mouth. I said, now, you know, if you want to go in and eat with us and act like a young lady, we'd be happy to have you. If you'd rather stay out here in the heat in the car, that's all right, but nobody's going to take you back home. You're going to sit right, you know, whatever you want to do. Well, it was so unusual, I never interfere. But that time, I was impatient, I was hungry, it was hot, and I wasn't going to sit there and work in a psychology on Miss Melanie all the afternoon. So she got out the car. Carol didn't say a word, she didn't interfere. And we went on in the thing, and so she did one of her sullen spells. She got in the shell. She was sullen. And so my way of doing, just ignore it. And you know, if you want to eat, all right, here it is for you. If you don't want to eat, that's fine to me. I wasn't going to let it spoil my lunch. And so Carol, though, was just not beside herself, because she doesn't do that, but she kept saying, Melanie, this is mighty good so-and-so. Would you like to try some of this? No answer. Just sullen. Just with her head all dropped down, the eyes closed, you know. And she kept trying to get her to eat. See, she couldn't bear for Melanie not to eat.
And the more you try, the less.
Why, certainly. Well, finally, I felt sorry. There was a glass of tea that they had brought to the food. And see, all the waitresses would come by. Well, now, I know she's going to eat for me. I'm going to say, let her alone. Let her alone. Stop begging her. She's getting all this attention. And so anyway, Carol just kept on trying. I saw that Carol was not going to enjoy her meal until Melanie started eating. So I said, well, I'll just take hold. I said, Melanie, would you taste of that tea and see if it's sweet? Because if you're not going to drink it, if it's sweet, I'm going to drink it. Well, I wasn't. I had a whole glass of tea. So that saved face, you know. You got to save face from it. So she said, she immediately tasted of the tea and said, yes, it was sweet. And I said, well, if you're not going to drink it, I believe I will. She said, oh, no, you know, she was going to drink it. And from then, she started eating her meal, which was all it took. But Carol would have been there from next till next Tuesday, begging her to eat and offering her food, and she would have been sullen right on. But she only did that with her mother. We went on up to Mary Jean's, and I've never seen a better behaved child. Carol went on to be with Ada. And we, Mary Jean and I, had Melanie. She absolutely refused to take a bath every night, and Carol would go through, I don't know what all, trying to make her take a bath. But once she'd get in there, you couldn't hardly get out of the tub. So Carol says, Grandma, I hope you don't have any trouble with Melanie by the bath. I said, I'm not going to have any trouble with her. Mm-hmm. And so when the first, I knew, she minded when Carol wasn't around. I said, Melanie, she was playing one of her little fantasy games, talking to herself, playing like she was in a store and setting things, and was having a real good time over there. But her mother had said, I want her in bed by 9 o'clock at least. Because Melanie would sit up all night if you'd let her, and then be cross all the next day. So I said, Melanie, that clock says she's death on it. She wanted to learn to tell time, too, and she's fine. She was telling the time. I said, that clock says 8:30. Now, when that hand gets around to right there, and I pointed out where it was, the clock was up on the wall, that will be when you'll have to go take your bath. You've got 20 minutes now. Don't stop your play. Go on and play. But watch the clock, and I'm going to see now. I'm going to be in here looking at TV. And you watch the clock and come tell me when it's time for your bath. It worked like a charm. She came in there, Grandma, the clock's right, the hand's right, so and so. I said, oh my goodness, then it's time for your bath. Well, then every night I'd play a different game, but when I said it's time for the base, you can't stop a child abruptly from that play. Get up now, you know. I don't want anybody stopping me if I'm, you know, concentrating doing something. But if you warn them and give them so much time, you know, nothing works all the time. Nothing works all the time. But as I told Jared, you have to be a grandmother before you learn all these little tricks.